Hello, ladies and germs. This is Tim Ferriss, and welcome to the brand new Tribe of Mentors podcast. For those who have no background on me, I'm an author, early stage investor in 50 plus companies like Facebook, Twitter, Uber, Alibaba, and many others, and the host of The Tim Ferriss Show, which is a long form podcast with more than 200 million downloads. Tribe of Mentors, this new gig, is an experimental podcast similar in flavor to The Tim Ferriss Show, but much shorter, much more distilled. This is season one, planned for 10 to 15 episodes. And instead of my usual 2 to 4 hour interviews, Tribe of Mentors packs a punch, or so it's intended, in, say, 10 to 30 minutes on average, and delivers tools, habits, and lessons learned from world-class performers in every field you can imagine. So you can think of this as a caffeine jolt of not just inspiration, but also tactical advice that you can use. The Tribe of Mentors podcast is largely adapted from my new book of the same name, Tribe of Mentors, subtitled Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, which details the routines, habits, tools of more than 130 people who are the best at what they do, including elite athletes like Kelly Slater and Dara Torres, legendary coaches like Dan Gable, at least a dozen billionaires and iconic investors, co-founders of companies like Facebook, Twitter, Dropbox, Craigslist, and others, poker and cryptocurrency, phenoms, and many geniuses you've never, ever heard of. In some cases, those are my favorites. And you can learn all about Tribe of Mentors at tribeofmentors.com. That's the book, or find it wherever books are sold. But let's get into the audio interview. Our guest today is Bear Grylls. You can find him on Twitter and Instagram, at Bear Grylls, G-R-Y-L-L-S, and at beargrylls.com. Bear is one of the most recognized faces of outdoor survival and adventure. He spent 3 years as a soldier in the British Special Forces, serving with 21 SAS. It was there that he perfected many of the skills he now showcases on television. His Emmy-nominated show, Man vs. Wild, Born Survivor, became one of the most-watched programs on the planet with an estimated audience of 1.2 billion. It's a big number. On his hit NBC adventure show Running Wild, he takes some of the world's best-known stars on incredible adventures, including former President Barack Obama, Ben Stiller, Kate Winslet, Zac Efron, and Channing Tatum. He has authored 20 books, including the number one best-selling autobiography, Mud, Sweat, and Tears. Bear, what is the book or books you've given most as a gift and why? Or what are 1 to 3 books that have greatly influenced your life?
I think probably a little book actually called Rhinoceros Success by a guy called Scott Alexander. And I remember reading this aged about 13, and it basically told me that life is tough and it's a bit like a jungle, and that life rewards the rhinos, you know, in life, those who can charge hard at their goals and above all, I guess, never give up. It talks about not following the cows of life, you know, those who drift aimlessly and suck purpose and joy out of the journey. And this is a book I often give to people who I think would really love it. I actually have made it mandatory reading for anyone who works in our team, and people generally love it.
How has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? Do you have any favorite failure of yours?
Failure, I've failed at so many things, and people generally don't talk about those, you know, write about those, they write about the successes, but the truth is I've had way more failures on expeditions and, you know, TV shows than I've had successes, and that's okay. You know, I think my favourite, though, for me, if you can have a favourite failure, which actually I think you can, because after all, what is a failure? Just, you know, I always see it as a stepping stone to where you want to go. But I think the big one for me is that was failing selection for the British SAS, for the British Special Forces, which I failed on my first attempt. And boy, you know, really, that ripped my heart out at the time. I don't think I'd ever given so much for anything. And to fall short was really hard. It was soul-destroying at the time. But I went back, I reapplied. They said, you know, they invited me to try a second time. And, you know, eventually I was lucky and I passed, you know, and 4 out of, I think we had 120 in total, 4 of us made it. And they actually say the best soldiers, you know, this is a sort of very much a regimental slogan. They say the best soldiers pass second time. And I'll go with that. But what it tells me is that tenacity matters more than talent. And I think in life that also is certainly true. To prepare second time round for Special Forces selection, I basically hit the hills even harder, you know, trained like a madman with ever more, you know, intensity. A typical day was maybe either a fast-paced mountain trek carrying like 50-plus pounds of gear for 3 hours, as hard as I could go, or then I'd mix it up with like 60 minutes of bodyweight circuits and throw that in with hill sprints. And, you know, I mean, you know, I can't remember all the deer, but basically I just got pretty mad with focus. And I look back and that was the key. And you know, speaking to, you know, so many of my friends who you know, passed over the years, you know, we look back now when we sit and share a beer together, and the common thread is that, you know, at the time it was our everything, you know, and selection needs that total consuming commitment. I think a lot of it was down to the fact that I really believed actually I could. You know, all I had to do was work harder, dig even deeper. But I think second time round, I knew deep down I could do it. And the fact that the SAS had asked me to reapply for selection, which they don't often do, and they said that they thought I could make it with some, you know, improvements. And I think that belief in me changed everything. I think also the mystique and the fear that I felt before and that trepidation of the SAS, you know, that at times, actually, if I'm honest, had been pretty overwhelming as a young, you know, man. I think that was then replaced by the belief that with more effort, more commitment, I could have some influence over that end result. And I think I started to believe that I could do this. You know, they told me as much by inviting me back. Now it's just down to the effort. I do love this thing about effort muscle. I talk about this a lot. You know, I think it's the most important thing we can encourage and develop in ourselves and in our loved ones. You know, it's not about the results necessarily, or, you know, the academia or the sporting kind of brilliance. It's about working the effort muscle. That's the one to really focus on. Most people focus on the biceps. Around our camp, we focus on the effort muscle. But I think on, you know, on that thing of all the SAS selection, I think for me, the first attempt there, I always felt I was surrounded by people who were bigger and stronger and fitter, more suited than me. And I think deep down, if I'm honest, I felt pretty intimidated by that. But then when I saw a lot of those people fail, none of them had been asked to come again, I realised actually they were no better than me and that maybe I could do this after all. It was just going to hurt a lot more for sure. You know, and I think the truth is, I look back and I go, you know, wow, you know, selection is a bit of a bastard. It's a tough one to go through once. It's a brute to go through twice, but therein lies the rewards. But for me, failure means struggle. I think that's the heart of it. Failure is about struggle, and struggle is good because struggle is where I've always developed my strength, and therefore I've never been scared to embrace a failure. And I know that, as I said, it's a stepping stone to get to where I want to go.
If you could have a gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
For me, this is a simple one to answer. You know, the billboard would say simply, storms make us stronger. And I think if I had one message for, you know, for young people embarking on life, it would be that, you know, don't shy away from the hard times. You got to embrace them, tackle them head on, move towards that path less trodden. Move towards the path that's full of obstacles, because what happens, most people run. They run at the first sign of battle. But what I've learned is that storms give us a chance to really define ourselves, to distinguish ourselves. And experience has shown me we always emerge from these storms stronger. The other key, I think, for me is to be kind, actually, along the way. And, you know, I don't want to kind of lose this in the message, but it is such a key one. Kindness really matters. And especially on that journey of endeavor and kind of, you know, embracing failure and embracing the storms of life. I think what separates the good from the great is this element of kindness. It can be quietly held, but kindness really matters, especially in the big moments. And again, life and a whole ton of expeditions has taught me that one.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I think actually learning to enjoy the process rather than always striving for the future. And I think sometimes in these jungles or deserts, I'm always kind of, you know, mega focused, just trying to get through it, do my best, work hard, work fast, get back to the family. But I think I've also realized that I was spending so much time dreading what was ahead or striving to be out of where I was. And I think for me, just learning to embrace the moment has changed changed a lot in the way I approach life and my work. And, you know, whatever it is, the good, the painful, it's all a privilege, the moment, the present, you know, so that's why we call it a present. And I figure that so many people never get to, you know, never get to live beyond 30. You know, I mean, look at that. You know, I think to be over 30, you're already in the 0.001% of humanity that's ever lived. You're lucky, you're the survivor, you're greatly blessed. So be grateful for that and enjoy the moment.
Bear, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
I think the first thing to say is that I definitely have moments like this. I think people go, oh, you must be super positive all the time. And that's not always true. I think, if I'm honest, I have loads of you know, days we struggle. What I've learned is this, hold tight, you know, hold tight, focus the effort, dig deeper. And I think when you kind of throw more at the lack of motivation, it actually rewards it. And, you know, a mantra I say so much to young people and to, you know, us as a team, you know, it's almost a kind of, it's almost a fun expression now. It's just to never give up, you know, never give up. And that's my way I react to kind of low motivation days. I try and dig deeper, give more, and as I said, never give up. It's not rocket science, this, but sometimes it's hard, you know, because, again, experience shows me that most people, when it gets tough, they start to look around for an excuse or a different tactic. But actually, often when it gets tough, all it really requires is for you to get tougher and to hold on and keep moving forward. And that what I've found, though, is a magic bit, is that when it gets like this, when it gets really hard and motivation is difficult, it often also means you're near the goal, you're near that end goal. And one big heave of focus, dedication, grit, and then you suddenly, you know, often pop up the other end. So, you know, and then when you get there, suddenly you look around, you see that most people are gone because they gave up in that final bit of hurting. So, in short, never give up. Tim, yeah, so nice. Thank you for having me on. Always been a fan of yours, and love your readership and your listenership, and to all of you guys out there listening, go for it, never give up. Come and join us if you're near LA at our Bear Grylls Survival Challenge, which is next April in LA, BearGrylls Survival Challenge.com. That's pretty fun. Big physical race, testing your survivor spirit sort of thing, Tim, you'd love. But yeah, thanks for having me on, and have a great day, guys. Bye.
Hey guys, Tim Ferriss again. If you enjoyed this, just a little taste of this guest, then you will love Tribe of Mentors, the book, subtitle Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, which details the routines, habits, and tools of more than 130 people who are the best at what they do. And you can pick and choose. It is a choose-your-own-adventure buffet, but you have just about everyone imaginable. And you can find free chapters, the full list of mentors at tribeofmentors.com and wherever books are sold. So take a look, tribeofmentors.com.